Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
Now, the European Union has unveiled another never-tried-before package. It still has to be agreed by individual countries. The plan involves taxing the windfall profits of energy companies and a mandatory cut to usage. This as individual countries like France continue to roll out measures to support households with their bills. Joining us now to discuss all of this is Caspian Conran, energy economist at Baringa Partners. Good morning to you, Caspian. Thanks for being with us again on the programme. What do you make then of the EU Commission's plans? Do you think that it's included all the most important elements?
I think generally it hits the right direction and note, although there clearly are elements that are particularly controversial. And the most controversial proposal is this cap on the price of Russian gas, which has still got to be agreed. Whilst in principle, I think everyone can agree that there could be some kind of cap imposed, the question is how broad that cap should be. Should it cover just Russian gas, in which case the impact of that is likely to be quite minimal in terms of actually reducing the price level for European imports, or should it be wider than LNG? The risk for the Commission is if they just target Russian gas, frankly, the flow of Russian gas into Europe, just 33 BCM on an annual basis, down to just 9% of EU consumption, isn't really going to move the dial if you're trying to affect wholesale gas prices in Europe. It really restricts the ability of Russian to raise revenue, but as a price management mechanism, it doesn't really work. But it comes with risks, because if Putin says and follows through with what he says he's going to do, which is cut flows to zero, then you're even more dependent on LNG. And LNG terminals are currently operating at around a technical maximum of 90%. But if there was anything that happened to LNG markets during that period, you could start to really see shortages this winter. And that comes up against the other proposals, the other sort of coalition, if you like, of member states, like Italy, Spain, France, who want to broaden that cap to all gas imports, including LNG. Now, in some circumstances, maybe if there's a moderate winter in Asia and Europe, potentially there's enough LNG to go around. But in a situation where we're engaged in a bidding war with Asian markets this winter, having a cap on our ability to buy wholesale gas on wholesale markets could really inhibit our ability to source gas through that crucial LNG channel. We, in our analysis, found that if utilization of LNG terminals went down to just 70%, this only a 20% drop this winter, our storage levels in Europe would be empty by about 5 to 10% this winter and would be negative by 20% next winter. So quite a risky proposal from the Commission, and we've got to see really how that proposal pans out.
Yeah, so then what about these talks with Norway? I mean, you know, we've hit the nail on the head in terms of that there is help for households, there's talk of help for businesses and windfall taxes, but actually the supply issue is the most vital one, and it's hard to solve that. So what are these talks with Norway? Is that likely to yield anything?
I mean, Norwegian production's been up a little bit this year by about 2 to 5 BCM, and that's certainly helped. But of course, when we go back to that original stat, Russian gas imports last year was 140 BCM. Norwegian flows are somewhat restricted because most of those pipelines to Belgium, to the Netherlands, to Poland, from Norway are pretty much operating at 80 or 90% capacity. And that's considered general technical maximum. You can't really push it above that level for very long. There's a little bit of flex because a new pipeline opened to Poland this year, which is additional, another additional 10 BCM. But really, we're talking probably about a longer term view, the ability to rapidly move the dial in terms of volumes by this winter is probably more limited. But of course, there may be a deal around how do we engage with Norwegian on securing more long term contracts, which could be more advantageously priced for Europe in the short term, as opposed to those spot market purchases, which right now are going absolutely crazy.
One of the other measures that we're told the European Union is preparing is to ease liquidity in the market, which we know has been an issue, things like the collateral rules being altered as well. How important are steps like that to keep the market functioning?
Very important. I mean, I think we said that our base analysis at the moment is that collateral or margin calls could go up by €1 trillion euros this winter. There are some really important proposals from ESMA that haven't yet been decided around the thresholds of the clearing obligation. A lot of small utilities go OTC, over the counter, and their margin calls are therefore with brokers. Those collateral requirements tend to be a little bit lower. But the ESMA rules, the regulator for derivatives clearing, has a threshold. If you're above a certain size as a utility, a revenue threshold, you have to clear through a clearinghouse, which has much stronger and much more large collateral and margin requirements. There's a proposal to temporarily lift that. So the smaller players whose revenues are being artificially inflated, if you like, by these large price increases, can actually continue to trade OTC and therefore maybe avoid some of those more punitive collateral requirements. The other main proposal is, of course, emergency liquidity, which we've seen from both member states and the Commission, which is, of course, an absolute imperative in these market conditions.
Is the solution nationalisation? Germany's looking at Fortum and Uniper. Obviously, France has already gone down that route. The UK's much further behind in that sense, or you know, not going down that road now. Is that going to end up being the solution this week? Is much wider use of nationalisation?
I mean, I think that speaks to the individual political regulatory requirements and capabilities of any member state. Certainly, I think you could argue legitimately that nationalisation for a short-term price environment, which is still short-term, a year, 2 years, may be more costly than potentially the long-run gain that you would receive from that. Price controls and emergency management of a broken market to restore that market in many member states would probably be quicker, less costly over the long run, and probably more advantageous to consumer and producer alike. But of course, different member states will find themselves in different positions, and they may have different histories and relationships with the private sector in those energy markets. Potentially, you know, privatization may have been more recent for some member states, especially in Eastern Europe, and therefore that relationship between those two sectors and the government will be closer. So I don't think we can be prescriptive on it. It's certainly going to be an option for some member states. Obviously, France, the most obvious, has already done it. But I don't think it will end up being a common or even blanket requirement or rule across the EU.
Just a word on this idea. So obviously the UK has had its plan for capping household bills. France is already had a cap in place from the start of the war this year of only 4% rises this year. It's now saying it's going to allow for 15% rises next year. How much does this scale of intervention from governments in the market, like, is the distortion going to be very long lasting in terms of when we eventually come out of this?
For the public purse, I think it's going to be huge, yes. I mean, the order of magnitude that we're talking about. Because remember, when we're talking about the retail prices, we're really basically saying the government's stepping in to pay the difference between wholesale and retail. What was interesting about the EU proposals is they're trying to grapple with the source of the problem, which is supply and prices in wholesale markets. In the retail market, the government exposure is now ginormous, and of course it's unlimited to the extent that we don't know when prices in wholesale markets will start to fall. Our internal view is probably that LNG and global gas markets remain pretty tight for the next 2 to 3 years. Now clearly we don't necessarily think that gas futures will remain at about 200, 300 euros a megawatt hour, but will they fall dramatically back down to 50 in the next 6 to 12 months? I think that's aspirational at best, bro.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB Digital Radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.